Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Reading USA Today this morning and just touched so deeply by what's happening in Libya. It's mired in protracted chaos. Jihadists are aligned with not only Al-Qaeda, but the Islamic State. And they now control substantial portions of the country, and thanks to their connections with other militant groups in the region, there's a network that provides training and weapons reaching from the Sinai Peninsula all the way to West Africa. And the Islamic State now threatens to seize the country's oil resources. There are no more schools, no more surgeons in the hospital. Militants are brainwashing children in CERT schools, where they explain to the children that it's good to kill Westerners and all Muslims who talk to Westerners. And then the story in the paper of Malad Ahmad. He's 42 years old. He's the father of a 14-year-old child. He never made it out. So many leaving, abandoning their homes being taken over by Islamic State militants. But he didn't make it out alive. He was shot, and he was hanged on a makeshift cross on a road in CERT because he supported the Tripoli-based government. All the while we sit in relative ease, the world suffers. And I think one of the systemic problems is people do not know the truth. And even in Western culture, we are buying the skin of the truth, stuffed with a great big lie, with respect to Islam, the Islamic State, Al-Qaeda. And it's for that reason, all this month, I have available to you two books. They're must-reads, written by Robert Spencer. He's a New York Times best-selling author. And he is a director of Jihad Watch. He's the author of 14 books on Islam, and he's led seminars on Islam and jihad for the FBI, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, the United States Central Command, and other intelligence and military groups. We'll have him on the air quite often this month, but his books, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran and The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, both available for your support. You can get either one of them. Check it out on the web at equip.org, or simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. First up today is Alice. She's listening in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Hank. Your program is surely a blessing, so
thank
I'm
you.
Very thankful for it. So my question is about the New Living Translation by Tyndale.
Sure.
As far as its accuracy, because they're using it at church a lot, and I believe that's the one. I know it's New Living they're using. I don't know if it's New Living Translation or New Living Bible.
Yeah, it's called a translation, but I think it is more properly rendered a paraphrase. It goes beyond the range of meanings allowed for the conveyance of one thought from the original language into the receptor language. So thought for thought, oftentimes they go beyond what would be allowed. So there's some interpretation in the New Living Translation. So I'd rather call it a New Living paraphrase, certainly good as it goes, but I think that you always want to have a good understanding of passages so you can compare with a thought-for-thought translation like the New International Version or a formal translation like the New American Standard Version. But pretty good paraphrase.
Of what's going on with our pastor. He feels it's the New Living is good for everything. And
well, I do think it's good devotionally, but I wouldn't use it unilaterally. I wouldn't use it by itself.
Uh-huh. So it's similar to the original Living Bible then in some ways, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It's just an updated version.
Okay. And is there a difference in the New Living Bible, or is that something else?
No, I
wasn't sure.
Yeah, we're talking about the same thing here when we're talking about the New Living Bible or New Living Translation. It's a paraphrase, and it is produced by Tyndall House. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Marie in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Marie.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I have a question, Pastor Hick. It's regarding Genesis 6, verse, chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, because I believe I'm a believer, and I know God has only one son, but in those verses, they're talking about sons of God. I would like to know your thoughts.
Sure. And one of the things I say, Marie, is that words are not univocal, they're equivocal. And what that means is they take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. So in Genesis chapter 6, sons of God has to do with the godly descendants of Seth. But there are other references to sons of God. For example, Job 1, where they refer to angels, or Luke 3, where Adam is referred to as the Son of God in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Or you can go to Hosea, and there you see sons of God. They are the faithful believers. So the context gives away what is meant in every single instance that I just mentioned.
How about when they say they married the daughters of men?
Yeah, what you have there is you have a passage that has to do with the flood. And there is judgment that's coming. And the reason is you have the intermarrying of those who are righteous with those who are unrighteous. And in the end, what happens is all of civilization is polluted to the extent that evil reigns in an unbelievable, unimaginable fashion in the land. We think about what's going on with ISIS or ISIL today, and we think that's as bad as it can get. No, it was even worse. And so God destroyed humanity in a judgment by way of the flood. So again, that's what's going on. You have evil humanity being judged by God, who takes into consideration every single converging factor such that his judgments are not only righteous and just, but best for humanity. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Tammy. She's listening in Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I have a question about when loved ones meet, like when you have family members that end up in heaven, and are you going to remember like your relationship you had with them on earth? Because I guess my thinking is on Judgment Day, if we're held accountable for everything we did, both right and wrong, we have to have memory of our life on earth. So are we going to remember each other? Are we going to remember what our relationship was like with that person?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have less of a memory in the eternal state. We're going to see things clearly. We're going to see things as they are. So even as we see judgment taking place, we will know that God is ultimately just and ultimately merciful, and that his judgments are completely correct, taking into consideration every single converging factor. and those that stand at that judgment dressed in the spotless robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ will be so grateful that they are not naked or dressed in the filthy robes of their own self-righteousness. So in heaven, yes, we'll know our loved ones. We'll have more knowledge, not less knowledge in the eternal state. I've written about this in a book called Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences.
Okay, thank you so much. I do have that book. It's just, to be honest, I've only gotten about halfway through it, so I'm sure I haven't gotten to that part yet. But thank you for taking the time to answer my question.
It is my pleasure. I want to mention, before I forget, that we have an app. It's called a CRI app. And when you download it, you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live. You can listen to archived editions of the broadcast. You can read hundreds of articles. You can donate in a safe, secure fashion. So just go to equip.org and download the app. It's equip.org/app. Equip.org/app. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Nick. He's listening in St. Louis. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Hank. Yeah, I just have a kind of an odd but quick question. My question is, so my wife and I have one kid and our newborn, actually. And it's been great, but also very difficult. And I started to think about you, and I listened to you a lot. How did you do it as being the president of CRI, as well as having like a 10 or 12 kids that you have? How did you and your wife how did you do it?
Well, I married well. My wife is absolutely incredible. God's given her stamina that is quite extraordinary. She's never had to sleep more than four hours. Just the way she was. She went through high school and university. In fact, she graduated from university when she was supposed to graduate from high school. So she went through 8 years and 4 years. Again, just incredible stamina. And her children rise up and call her blessed. She has done such an incredible job of investing herself, not only in me, allowing me to do what I do, but also in the children. The other thing, though, that's interesting is when you have a lot of children, it's synergistic as opposed to being deflective, because the older children help with the younger children. So there's a nucleus that kind of helps in the whole process of making it all work. The big thing that you need with a lot of kids is not selfish consumers, but selfless contributors to the whole, to the family, and then on a broader base to society.
Okay. Yeah, that's. I've always been interested in that. I think it sounds like your wife is a very gifted and very blessed wife to you, and that's great. I didn't know if that was a normal thing.
I don't think it's like normal. I mean, you think about how many families have 12 children. I mean, it's abnormal in some sense. I mean, it's not the norm. Most families have less children than that, but I'm trying to help with the averages. You know, when you think about it, you know, most of Western society, the EU countries, and even in the United States and Canada, there's a negative birth rate, which is to say the death rate exceeds the birth rate. What happens with that in a period of time is the native populations die out. So I'm trying to make my contribution. No, the Lord has been blessed, and Kathy's always wanted to have a lot of kids. And every time she was pregnant, I was I was a little upset, even though I was part of the process. She wanted a lot of kids, and now I'm really glad because I get to travel with my kids. My kids are my best friends. Although I have some young kids, my youngest is 12, my oldest is 42. So I got a broad range, 7 girls and 5 boys, and they're a lot of fun.
Wow. Yeah, congratulations to you on that. That's very impressive, and I look up to you for that. So we'll keep working, and just wanted to have some encouragement in that area. I know it's kind of an odd question.
Well, I appreciate your question. Don't look up to me. Look up to my wife. I mean, she amazing what she's been able to do in raising our kids. I've had a part of it. You know, I had an experience with my son in China. I'm going to be traveling with my son this weekend, my oldest son. And I was in China, and someone who had met a lot of my children asked me while we were walking down a street in Fujing, asked me, how do you raise kids like this? And I didn't get a chance to answer. My son answered, he said, you know, our dad puts parameters around our lives, but he doesn't try to micromanage us. So that's my 2 cents worth in terms of raising kids, taken directly from the words of my son. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And remember, all the resources I talk about on the air can be found on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and our resource consultants standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI, back in just a bit. Please don't touch that dial.
Islamic jihadists boldly attack innocent people on the street. This is just one sign of the eroding Judeo-Christian worldview and values that once dominated the West. We are in a fight for our lives, not against flesh and blood, but spiritual warfare. For this reason, CRI is boosting our apologist arsenal with two new resources, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, and The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran by Robert Spencer. To receive either one of these books as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after the break. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Abroad and at home, Islamic jihadists boldly assault innocent people on the streets, as we saw in Paris and San Bernardino. Capitals around the world brace themselves for increasing attacks by suicidal terrorists willing to blow up themselves and others in the name of Allah, while even many Christians embrace the politically correct folly that Islam is a religion of peace. As a way of addressing this spiritual warfare against the kingdom of Christ, CRI is boosting our apologist arsenal with two new resources by Robert Spencer, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, as well as The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. To receive either of Spencer's books as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Mothers are uniquely positioned to influence their children's intellectual formation profoundly. When they themselves become dedicated learners, mothers are better prepared to initiate spontaneous conversations that will inspire their children to think more deeply about Christianity. In the cover article, Motherhood and the Life of the Mind, Melissa Kane Travis maps out a strategy to make this goal attainable. Other topics include when baby making takes three, you, me, and she, Quentin Tarantino's postmodern theology, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Because the challenges of a rapidly spreading radical Islam will confront us for years to come, remaining ignorant about Islam cannot be an option for thinking Christians. That's why CRI has added to its apologist arsenal two timely and provocative books on Islam by Robert Spencer. To receive your copy of The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll return right away to our callers. Next up is Glenn. He's listening in Gig Harbor, New Jersey, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
My question is this. God said that from the dust of the earth we were taken, to the dust of the earth we shall return. So I believe that mankind will never be laid to rest on the foreign soil of another planet. So I believe that we'll never make it to Mars. We'll never inhabit a new world. Does that make sense to you?
Well, a lot of people thought we'd never make it to the moon. Here's the thing. We are called as Christians to not only fulfill the Great Commission, but also the cultural mandate, which means that we are to be caretakers or stewards of God's creation, and God's creation is not limited to Earth. So I think that the overarching issue is to develop the social world, to build families, churches, schools, cities, and governments, to plant crops, to design computers, to explore the universe in which God has placed us. And ultimately, what we know from Scripture is that God is going to renew the universe or restore the universe. The universe now groans in travail. It's awaiting its liberation, as Paul says in Romans 8, from its bondage to decay. But that will happen when Jesus appears a second time. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to William, Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi.
Hey, Hank.
Nice talking to you.
Hey, I just had a quick question, and I'll hop off the phone once I ask it. So I know Jesus says that there won't be any marriage in heaven. And so I just wanted to know, with that being said, is there going to be sexual intercourse in heaven, or will there not be sexual intercourse in heaven? And with that, I'll get off the phone. Thanks.
Sure. Yeah, in the new heavens and the new earth, sex will no longer be for the purpose of procreation, and nor will it involve sexual intercourse because, as you correctly point out, at the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels. This is precisely what our Lord said. In heaven, we will experience a kind of spiritual intercourse that eludes our understanding on earth. But by nature or essence, we're sexual beings. Sex is not something that you do. Sex is what you are. So sex is not merely a word that describes an erotic experience. Sex is what we are by essence. And in the beginning, God created us male and female, and that is likely how it always will be. So I think we can safely surmise that there'll be sexuality in heaven, because heaven will personify enjoyment. Men and women will enjoy one another, not in a merely physical sense, but also in a metaphysical sense. And the reality is perhaps very, very difficult to understand for crass materialists. because the materialist views sexual pleasure as a function of fitting body parts together. But Christians see humanity as a psychosomatic unity of both body and soul. And therefore, we're not solely sexual somas or sexual bodies. We are sexual souls as well. And in heaven, the pleasure that the male and the female sex will experience in one another will be infinitely magnified. And there's a reason for that. In eternity, our earthly conception of sex will have been completely eclipsed. Because in place of selfishness, we're going to take pleasure in selflessness. But bottom line, in answer to your question, you're absolutely right in what you said, the prologue to the question, and that is our Lord said that at the resurrection, we'll neither marry nor be given in marriage. I think that's Matthew 22. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ryan. He's in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Hi, Hank. I called in before. I don't know if you remember. I called in. I was the gentleman who was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. I was just really struggling with kind of my assurance of my salvation. And it got better, meaning my understanding, and definitely with what you said, definitely helped me. It's just the issue with having brain cancer is you can't remember anything. So it, I just to kind of bring you up back to speed, it's I was a Christian my whole life, just teens, early 20s. That time I kind of fell into temptation with both, you know, alcohol, women. Later in my 20s, I kind of felt a wooing from God, sort of kind of calling me, you know, get out, sort of get out of what you're doing. And I don't think I really ever looked at it as a relationship until that time. And then I was like, you know what, I need to really have a relationship with Christ, not just, you know, I don't know, my thoughts and my behavior and, you know, my imperfect behavior, I guess you could say, very sinful life that I was having while I still believed in Christ. And when I got sick, it really helped me because I was able to kind of be like, okay, you know what, it's got to be now. And I was able to, you know, through feeling godly sorrow, I was able to break those chains of those sins that I had, even after coming to Christ. I still carried that, you know, that baggage. I think you've said it before, is, you know, we don't lose our sin nature. Mm-hmm. And I certainly was the case with me. But I was able, you know, with that, at that time of getting sick, which is probably about a year and a half ago, I was able to repent, and I haven't fallen back into those sins. I'll say my sins. Mine were specifically, I really struggled with lust and pornography and alcohol, and a lot of those things that I picked up in my teens and college years. I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit convicting me and giving me strength and ability to break those bonds. But I got some really tough news yesterday at the doctor's, Hank, and I don't know how much longer I have to live. And it's I don't want to go to hell. I'll just lay it on the table. And I believe in Jesus. I believe that he is exactly, you know, who he said he was, and he fulfilled all of the messianic prophecies, and he's the one and the only one. And I believe that, you know, God's the Father, and it's so tough because I know that I've stumbled so many times after coming to Christ that I'm like, how could he still forgive me after all of these times that I've done this? You know, and this is even years after, you know, knowing that I shouldn't be doing that, but just being so weak and falling into those things. But, you know, I look at it and I'm like, at the same time, you know what? I believe God is who he said he is. I look at Jesus and I look at Jesus as the only way. I have no plan B when I get to heaven. It's almost like those signs, like Jesus or bust type things. Like I trust and I'm going to God and saying, you know what? There's times where I kind of made a mess of my life, but I never stopped believing in your son. And I may have had, you know, times where I didn't, you know, obey and I fell into sin, but I'm hoping that just my belief in Jesus is what I need at that time.
Well, Ryan, you can do more than hope. You can know. You can know beyond the shadow of a doubt. So you are right now facing the worst of times and the best of times because you've come to a true valuation of things. And we're all one heartbeat away from eternity. But God is not going to turn you away for your sins. He forgives your sins. And I have the authority to say that, not on the basis of my own authority, but it is a vested authority. It is the authority that comes from the Word of God Himself. Whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has, not might have, could have, but has everlasting life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life, and that's precisely what will happen to you. You will cross over from a mortal experience to an immortal eternity, which is beyond your comprehension. And when you stand before the Lord, because of the confession that you have so plainly made, you will stand before the Lord, not dressed in filthy robes, not in your own self-righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, no one has to tell you that you're a sinner. You have already communicated that in the most profound and articulate way. But Jesus Christ died for people just like you and me, for sinners. And so as you continue to walk with him in the days that you have, he will continue to give you the grace you need. So put your trust fully in him. And every single day when you wake up, say, Lord Jesus, I place my trust in you. I worship you alone. And once again, I confess my sins, knowing that you are faithful and just. You will forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And then lay your cares before the Lord, because he cares for you and he will welcome you. Not might or could, he will welcome you into his presence. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you will give Ryan the assurance of his salvation, that you will give him the faith to believe with all his heart that you are his and he is yours. And, oh Lord, I look forward to spending an eternity with Ryan in your presence. Oh Lord Jesus, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We'll be back in just a few moments. Touching call. I mean, there's a great example of being in touch with your own mortality, as all of us should be. Ryan will be with the Lord. That's certain.
President Obama quoted from the Quran, "Whoever kills an innocent, it is as if he has killed all mankind. And whoever saves a person, it is as if he has saved all mankind." Now, that sounds compassionate and peaceful, but Obama simply ignored the very next verse, which mandates punishment for anyone whom Muslims do not regard as innocent. Find out how Islam and the Quran are being whitewashed by political leaders and pundits in Robert Spencer's The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran, or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. Receive either book as our thanks for your gift simply by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Surrogacy today is an increasingly popular reproductive option for infertile couples, but could bringing a third person, another woman, into God's plan for human reproduction be a good thing? The article, When Baby Making Takes Three, You, Me, and She surveys and evaluates the practice. Other topics include unexplaining the Mormon priesthood ban on blacks, a Holy Spirit encounter with a Jehovah's Witness, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Anselm, in defense of greatest being theology, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Bet your teachers never told you. Muhammad did not teach peace and tolerance, but led armies and ordered the assassination of his enemies. The Crusades were not acts of unprovoked aggression by Europe against the Islamic world, but a delayed response to centuries of Muslim aggression. And what is known today as the Islamic world was created by a series of brutal conquests of non-Muslim lands. That's why the Christian Research Institute has added to its apologist arsenal two timely and thoroughly researched books on Islam by Robert Spencer. To receive your copy of The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Everything, well, almost everything you know about Islam and the Crusades is wrong, because most textbooks and popular history books are written by left-wing academics and Islamic apologists who justify their contemporary political agendas with contrived historical facts. Learn the truth in Robert Spencer's Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades and The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. To receive your copy of either book as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. So moved by Ryan's call before the break. Here's a man who is facing his own mortality, a doctor now telling him that he may only have days to live. And when you're in that kind of circumstance, it is the helmet of salvation, part of the full armor of God that blunts the blow of death and enables us to view our circumstances from the perspective of eternity. It's the covering that protects our minds so that we do not become disoriented in the throes of spiritual warfare, the kind of warfare that Ryan was talking about, the doubts that can creep in the throes of spiritual warfare so often, the devil delights. But the helmet of salvation guards our minds and grants us perspective. It blunts the blow of death. It enables us to view our circumstances from the perspective not of earth, but of eternity. And here's one of the things that I wanted to communicate in a follow-up to that call. Postmodernity likes to drive death into the closet, likes to trivialize it by treating it irreverently, or sometimes even circumvent it through the use of cliches. But Christianity demonstrates that death is defeated. Cultural thanatologists may urge us to accept death as a friend, but Christian theology sees death as an enemy. And that's why the Christian faith doesn't offer us a tranquil way to come to terms with the maladies associated with death, but it does offer us something else, a way to overcome death, because Christ stands for life. And his resurrection should give convincing proof that God is not satisfied with any cycle of life that ends in death. He will go to any extent, he did go to any extent, to break that cycle. And this is the great hope, ultimately, of resurrection, a hope that Job saw so clearly. Though my flesh is consumed, said Job, I will stand upon the earth again. Job, arguably the oldest book in the Bible, and already we have the taste of resurrection. And that is the hope for you, for Ryan, and for everyone else. I have this morbid obsession, I suppose. I don't know. Every single day as I look through the newspaper, I see the obituary page. And I look at all the faces. And I think, just a day or two ago, those were people who were living, and now they're dead. And so is our life. I just was out to dinner a couple of days ago, and someone just mentioned a friend of mine had died. It wasn't a real close friend, but someone that I loved dearly, and someone that I saw maybe 3, 4, 5 times a year, but somehow or other, the news had escaped me. And the minute I heard it, I teared up thinking about how just a few months ago I was giving him a hug and we were talking and we were dreaming about how we could serve the Lord. And he was a great servant of the Lord. And now he is in eternity. That quickly, we're translated from mortality to immortality. And then we give an account for what we've done in the flesh. And I can tell you that's why we do what we do at the Christian Research Institute. It is because life and truth matter. Eternity is forever. What we do now counts for all eternity. Back to the phone lines. Daniel in Benton, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a personal question. I'm an evangelical in beliefs. And I wanted to get your take on what you would think putting my kid in Catholic school. Is it a viable thing for an evangelical to do over the secular public school system?
Well, I do think it's viable. I remember when we lived in Southern California, I sent some of my kids to Catholic school because it was the very best option in terms of the school options that were available to me in the area that I lived. And the education was fantastic, but I didn't simply rely on the education that my kids are getting either in a public school or a Catholic school or even an evangelical Christian school. I have kids that go to Charlotte Christian in Charlotte here, a fantastic school. But I don't rely on that. My kids constantly ask me questions about what their teachers are teaching them, and we have discussions about it. So I think that as long as you augment that schooling with good parenting, it could be a very wonderful option.
Okay, and a follow-up question with that, like what the school entails is the praying and entailing Hail Marys, et cetera, you know, conflicting with my beliefs of, you know, we don't pray to saints, in my view. We don't petition Mary. We have one man, one God, one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. So when they want my child to partake in these activities, that's where the conflict comes in. So I guess, can that be reconciled in light of even that? Or
well, that's where the good parenting comes in. But let me say this. I think that oftentimes within Protestantism, there is a failure to recognize how significant Mary is. We should never worship Mary. Mary is a sinner, but she's not just any sinner. She was in the fullness of time the vessel that God chose to bear a son who would redeem the world. And so I think that while we never worship Mary, we can certainly venerate Mary. And I think what would be very, very helpful is simply to let your child know the difference between worshiping and venerating. Remember when John in the book of Revelation saw an angel that's giving him a revelation. He falls down and worships the angel, and the angel immediately says, "Don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets. Worship God." Worship is for God alone. So to explain the difference between veneration and worship, I think can be very, very helpful for your own child to be able to figure it out as they're attending the school.
Thank you, Hank, for your advice. Thank you.
You got it, Daniel. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. James in Arkansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, James.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you.
I almost am kind of, you know, taken back by the caller with the, you know, the brain cancer. It definitely kind of minimizes the importance of my question, but I'll go ahead and ask it anyway. Long story short, I mean, I've worked with, you know, William Lane Craig. I've represented, you know, a philosophical chapter, Reasonable Faith here. So I'm used to debating, you know, various atheists, you know, that kind. I'm very familiar with, you know, the various cosmological arguments, the different, you know, inflationary models, et cetera, et cetera. I have recently found it more difficult, which I'm kind of dumbfounded on, to debate, you know, a growing number of young Earth creationists that have showed up to my chapters. And it's more or less kind of the, I guess, the Wayne Grudem, you know, model where he says, look, the scientific evidence falls more on the old Earth side. The biblical probably falls more on the young Earth side. How about we set our differences, you know, to the side kind of a thing. And I know that you've had Paul Nelson, who's a young Earth creationist, on your show. You know, Gary Habermas has commented that 4 days of the week he's an old Earth creationist, 3 days he's a young Earth one. And J.P. Moreland even made the comment on in Paul Nelson's commentary on Three Views of Evolution, where they, you know, reviewed theistic evolution, old Earth, and young Earth, that, you know, quote, the young Earth group might be right. So I guess my question really is, I've almost gotten to the point now where I'm actually an agnostic as far as the the age of the Earth goes, and more in the Francis Schaeffer camp, where I just say, look, review both sides and go from there. So my question is kind of, is that okay? Because, I mean, I've almost gotten to that point where, you know, Paul Nelson, as you know, is a very intelligent person. Is a, you know, even though he's a young Earth creationist, he says, look, maybe it's 50,000 BC, who knows? But he still falls into that young Earth camp. So do you see any problem with basically just saying, you know what, as far as the age of the Earth goes, I would say you know, whether it be a Hugh Ross, a Ken Ham, study all sides and let the chips fall where they may.
Well, a couple of things. One is I love some of the people that you're talking about. Paul Nelson, one of my favorite guests. He's participated in some of the great DVDs that we've offered at the Christian Research Institute, and worked with Illustria Media to be able to produce epic DVDs, which you can find on the web, like Metamorphosis and so forth. So I love Paul Nelson. I think he's just a great, great Christian example in so many different ways. But having said that, I don't agree with the notion that if you look at the Bible, you're going to be more skewed towards a young earth perspective. And if you look at general revelation, you're going to be more skewed to an old earth perspective. The truth of the matter is the Bible simply doesn't tell us about the age of the earth. It gives us not a chronology. It rather gives us a hierarchy of creation culminating in the crowning jewels of God's creation, humankind. And I think what's important here is to recognize that we have to do two things well. One, we have to learn how to read the Bible for all it's worth. Read it in the sense in which it's intended. But we also have to do the same thing with science. So I don't think we can say, well, I'm going to be agnostic on this. I think this is an important issue, and it's important, especially for someone like you, articulate, bright, and given a platform, as you indicated in the prologue to the question. And I think it's good for you to be able to be articulate about this subject, not only in terms of explaining how to rightly divide the word of truth, but also in terms of being able to point in a very a wise way to what you find in general revelation. That's even apart from which side you take. I'm saying that we have to do hermeneutics well, and we have to do science well, and particularly someone like you with the platform that God has blessed you with. By the way, just appreciate very much your very articulate question, and may God continue to bless and use you for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. My apologies to those hanging on. We're simply out of time for this week. See you next time with more.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Abroad and at home, Islamic jihadists boldly assault innocent people on the streets, as we saw in Paris and San Bernardino. Capitals around the world brace themselves for increasing attacks by suicidal terrorists willing to blow up themselves and others in the name of Allah, while even many Christians embrace the politically correct folly that Islam is a religion of peace. As a way of addressing this spiritual warfare against the kingdom of Christ, CRI is boosting our apologist arsenal with two new resources by Robert Spencer, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, as well as The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. To receive either of Spencer's books as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Mothers are uniquely positioned to influence their children's intellectual formation profoundly. When they themselves become dedicated learners, mothers are better prepared to initiate spontaneous conversations that will inspire their children to think more deeply about Christianity. In the cover article, Motherhood and the Life of the Mind, Melissa Kane Travis maps out a strategy to make this goal attainable. Other topics include When Baby Making Takes Three, You, Me, and She, Quentin Tarantino's Postmodern Theology, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.